All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
It's game one, round two, Oilers Canucks, and the stars are out. McDavid, Draisaitl, and Saravalli. Let's get into it with the lead. Taking the Sports Closet studio on the road, three locations in the Edmonton area, or you can check them out online at sportscloset.ca. We're live from Greta in Vancouver, Gastown, correct? That's what this area is called?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a prairie boy.
Your eyes when I asked you that?
Too many goddamn buildings here.
Frank is over on the far side. Joining us right off the hop, Frank, you're dialed in, ready to go for round two.
Let's go.
Over in the YouTube chat, I see Quads is in here.
Quads, get out of there.
Get out, Quads.
Ban him.
Should I? Oh, that'd be so funny if I actually banned him.
Hey, folks. Well, at least he's being polite.
And also, just with the history of our chat, we don't know if that's actually Quads.
Could be anyone.
Pretending to be Quads.
Well, then everyone flame whoever David Quadrelli is in the chat, please.
Canucks Army's been a little bit lippy on Twitter, huh?
Very.
Let them do their thing.
Isn't that the point?
That is the point. And I'm saying, you know, we can't reciprocate to the same degree because we have to have that edge.
Because you have class.
A hair more.
You know, who else was pretty lippy a couple of years ago? Flames Nation. How did that go?
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out?
Yeah.
Nah, it didn't go well for them.
I think it involved a firing.
Princey, did he drizzle on a truck? How'd that work out?
Well,
note to self, do not pee on Oilers Nation truck.
Frank is in fine form here.
Shots fired.
It is a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show, brought to you by Sherwood Ford the Giant and their fantastic service department, which I took full advantage of yesterday. Go to Sherwood Ford the Giant to do the show, drop the truck off for an oil change. By the time I'm done the show, truck's done. Boom, drive it into the office. That's kind of quality service.
That's good planning.
Yeah, that is good planning. And I called the day before to make the appointment. That's what you get with Sherwood Ford the Giants.
See, I'm a terrible planner.
Yeah.
And because they're so good, they just allow me to look like a good planner because they come to me.
Makes sense. With the mobile service van, all of it can be at your disposal if you choose Sherwood Ford the Giant as your next dealership. For the Edmonton Oilers, game one tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Interesting that there's been so much time off. I know people were joking in the chat that it feels like we're in the off season because the Oilers haven't played in 7 full days. Frank, the Canucks also haven't played in 5 days. What do you make of that scheduling? I mean, the Oilers finished off their series quicker. They don't get that much more of a break.
it's funny because a lot of the belly aching has come from Stars fans, from Bruins fans saying, well, hold on a second. We go to 7 games here and these guys get 4 and 6 days off. And it's like, yeah, well, that's the point. You went 7. These other teams went 5 and 6.
Is that the rationale they deploy to that?
No, this is building availability, TV schedules. There's a lot of things that get packed into it. But the point is, you run the risk of short rest when you go deep, which is another reason why I've been, you know, emphasizing for the Oilers. At any point over the last 20 years that you've won a Stanley Cup, almost every team has had one short series of the four. You need one. It's not a nice to have. It's a must have. Mm-hmm. Look how refreshed and ready this team is going to be going into round two.
Oily accountant wants me to ask you, who do you think the Oilers are eyeing up ahead of the trade deadline? But we'll see. Next year's deadline, Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall twice retained would be a great target next deadline.
That would be nice.
That would be a good
I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Whoa. There we go. Boom. We got deadline talking.
I think that's how I think I've already heard some idle speculation.
Hell yeah.
That.
That's my article for the week.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it was good to go. We're gonna blow this way out of proportion. But
to your point about the rest, though, that's actually why today, not, you know, we'll have fun today, but over at the rink. This is the most worthless morning skate anyone's ever been to. What are you going to possibly say after saying the same thing for the last 5 days? Not only that, but what are we going to glean from a skate that we otherwise wouldn't know?
Yeah, it's kind of one of the challenging things. Not that there are many in doing this. Like, we've now done, what, 4 shows just being like, I guess a couple of them were like, Preds or Canucks. But when you break down the Canucks so much, then this week it's just been, this is day 3 of being like, oh, what can they do against the Canucks? But our giant question for the day for our friends over at Sherwood Ford, the Giant, it's very similar to what we talked about yesterday on Oilers Nation Radio. It was our big debate then. And Jay, I guess I haven't had a chance to get your answer on this. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about it, Frank. But it's, you know, a lot of people are picking the Oilers in 5. A lot of people are picking the Oilers in 6. And it's kind of the whole, you know, if anyone can make this a short series, it's probably Edmonton. The flip side of that, though. What should concern the Oilers the most about this matchup, Frank? Because you covered the Canucks Predators series.
Yeah, I was at the first 5 games of the series. What I would say is the biggest enemy that the Oilers could have is themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's been one of the staples of their last few playoff runs is, do you get into crazy turnovers? And I'm not saying like the singles or doubles. Are you giving up the Grand Slam home runs? Are you taking stupid penalties? Are you getting involved in things you shouldn't be? I know this sounds, and trust me when I say this, I'm not pandering to Oilers Nation, but I have a really hard time. And let me preface all this by saying I was an early Canucks adopter. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I picked that team to make the playoffs, you know, when it wasn't a popular take. Then I said, first round, Canucks in 6. Boom, hit it. But my thing now is I'm looking really hard as someone that has seen all the good that the Canucks have done and say, what's their path to win this series? How can you find and navigate a road that has the Canucks winning and beating the Oilers? And you need like 4 things to go perfectly. You need to be way more than a 1.5 line team. You need Pettersson to beat Draisaitl. You need Seelovs to beat Skinner, and you need your skill to win. And I just, with the top heavy skill that the Oilers have, I don't see it. I can't navigate a road that gets me there.
Yeah. And when we talked to Quads earlier in the week, he kind of lined up the same thing. He was like, if the Canucks are going to win this series in 7, you need obviously Elias Pettersson to be better. You need the power play to be better. You need to keep the Oilers off their own power play, because I don't think that's a matter of your penalty kill just magically figuring out the Oilers. I think you have to limit the amount of opportunities you give them as well. What are you most concerned about?
So I guess the fear is, and to quote Sheldon Keefe, is to make sure Tocchet doesn't coach the Canucks to play a style of game that allow the Oilers to beat themselves. Did I get to the final destination?
Yeah, I think you did.
Was the fear?
It was about as confusing as when Keefe said it, but I don't know what you're putting down.
So I had to say it. Well, for me, I guess it'll come down to goaltending. I guess you can't take, I'm going to butcher it, Seelovs.
Yep.
Seelovs.
You can't take him for granted. Granted, he's their third string, but you saw what he did for Latvia. at the Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So he can carry a team on his back. So that's going to be, to me, like the biggest kind of X factor in terms of whether this is going to be a 5-game series or a 7-game series. Am I a homer? Yes. Do I think the Oilers are going to destroy the Canucks? Yes. And in 5 games. I can't see any other way. I'm high off round one.
Yeah.
They were able to show us that they can close it around early and not beat themselves like they did the previous 2 years against the Kings. So it looks like they've cleaned that up. They've learned to lose. So they know the importance of getting shit done pronto.
I think one thing that's given me confidence in the Oilers coming into the series is every win in that first round was pretty different. You know, like they didn't just like outscore their problems the whole time.
It wasn't 7-4, 7-2, 7-6.
Yeah, it's kind of uncharacteristic, I guess you could say, from what we've known the Oilers to be. So that's why I'm confident for the Oilers is I think they're going to be able to dictate what happens out there.
We can live in the uncomfortable of a low scoring game.
Yes.
You're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because that's the part about the first round series between Canucks and Preds that I think a lot of people got wrong. They were like, this is Nashville gumming up the works, and that it was actually Vancouver trying to play that way. And I don't think, you know, people think about Miller and Pettersson and Besser and Hughes and all these guys that they have that are skilled, and they say, well, why on earth would Vancouver want to play that way? But that's that, plus they really utilize the size on their back end to really try and change the way Nashville played. And to your point, Jay, and that's really what, you know, could be part of their game plan, and I would expect to be part of their game plan moving forward here, is to try and find some way to slow down the Oilers. But the problem with that is they just faced the Kings in the first round, who did is different stylistic way to do it, but they picked through it with ease. And so how much more difficult could you really make it? I expect the challenge to be tougher because they have different ways to beat you that the Kings didn't, but that's the hard part about trying to size all this up.
The Canucks were one of the higher scoring teams in the league in the regular season, 6th in goals for per game. Do you think, because if they wanted to get into a track meet against the Predators, they probably could have and could have been successful. Nashville's a league average offense, and no disrespect to Forsberg and Yossi and all them, but that's not a forward group that strikes a lot of fear into you.
Although Ian McIntyre took a ribbing yesterday from Oilers fans on social media.
Ah, yes.
But he pointed out, though, that from the last 40 games of the season halfway through, the Preds had the second highest scoring offense.
That is a decent point, and they went on that 18-game point streak or whatever. But do you think there was a part of it from the Canucks that maybe we're using that series to say, hey, this is how we're going to have to play to get through Edmonton, so let's play this way to get through Nashville?
Maybe. I could see that. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah. Nashville gave us the playbook on how to shut down Vancouver, but also I think just playoff hockey shuts down Vancouver. Like they're still green in this space.
I wonder how much that matters.
Well, but why does Pettersson turn into a ghost?
That just might be his own nature.
In playoffs to turn into a ghost, or just he's streaky? I don't know enough. Like, I know he's,
we don't know enough season, because no one really know, like, yeah, no one's really seen it.
Is Hughes hurt, and like, is that having an impact? Well, that should be part of our game plan, is make sure that he feels uncomfortable.
Well, that's the one part about what Nashville did that I think the Oilers should really try and replicate, is they physically punished Hughes and Hronek when they were on the ice. They were sending two, upwards of three players on their forecheck, and they made life really miserable for him. And as a result, he wasn't nearly as impactful at the other end of the ice, even with the puck on his stick, which theoretically should have no bearing on that.
That'll be interesting. Gotta
give the Derek Ryan treatment.
Oh, it just gets blown up every time he touches the puck. But the physicality thing, I think that'll be interesting from an Oilers side, because they weren't overly physical. They were physical, but not like, there wasn't a lot of scrums in that LA series. They really just allowed LA to do that and then took advantage of the penalties that they all got, right? So be intrigued to see how that changes for the Oilers. Is, do you get in that kind of battle, or do you just allow Vancouver to make those mistakes and then the power play comes up?
Well, they were also really timely against Nashville in terms of they didn't get very many shots, but when they did get them, they made them count, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of like that, a bit of a waiting game. Like, hey, we're going to wait for our opportunities, and then when we get them, we're going to pounce. We may only have 20 shots on goal, and they were comfortable, but 13 of the 20 that they had in one game were high danger. And you go, okay, maybe that's a recipe for success, quality instead of quantity.
Yeah, that's fair. That Canucks, you mentioned the Canucks being a 1.5 line team. Is that how you describe them? I was looking into the numbers from the first season or first series against the Predators. JT Miller spent the bulk of his 5-on-5 time going up against Forsberg and O'Reilly in that Predators top line. Did a decent job on paper of shutting them down. They only scored one goal against him in the 50-some minutes, 49-odd minutes that they played head-to-head. But the Miller didn't have a goal for in that time either. So
that feels like a good story on OilersNation.com.
Yeah, maybe it'll drop later this afternoon. But below Miller, Pedersen is an obvious example, but who else there do you kind of look at and be like, boy, they need a lot more from them than they got in round one? I'm asking this just because, again, you followed it closely.
Everyone.
Like,
did Ilya Mikheyev even play in the series? Yeah. Honestly, I didn't notice him at all.
Do you give Pedersen a bit of a break because Mikheyev and Hoglander were subpar? No.
You're either a driver when you make $11.5 million or you're not.
That's fair.
You don't get any, hey, well, my line mates suck. Well, look, that's not how it works.
And then not to say...
Pedersen is not Sid, right?
But Sid can literally take two handbags and produce.
Yeah.
Is that like a skirt comment, John Cooper, or no? Two handbags?
We're going to issue an apology right now.
No, just like just dead weight.
Okay.
Hand weights. I don't sure. know. I don't know
what we're going Doug Waits. Doug Waits.
Couples ball, but Doug Waits. Jeez, that's a 300-point line.
Okay, we got Frank for about another 15 minutes, and we're going to trade him for bagged milk. The deal will be 1-for-1.
I actually referenced that in a new Frankly Speaking coming out on Friday. Just taped it this morning.
With who? Can you tell us?
Yeah, Kevin Adams, the Sabres GM. Oh. And I talked about the Mittelstadt Bone Byram deal, and I threw in there. The deal was 1-for-1.
The deal was 1-for-1. But before we let you go, I want to go around the NHL a little bit. Should we start with draft lottery last night? This morning when we were sitting at the airport Chili's waiting for our flight.
Where else do you go? Yeah, NYEG.
It's the only spot. I saw the clip of Mike Greer. They win the lottery. He turns and he gives the big, like, congratulatory handshake to whoever was sitting next to him. I'm like, that's so weird to just be like, yes, we sucked enough. Like, come here. We did it. But it really was mission accomplished for San Jose.
Buddy, we packed a bar with 400 people.
Yeah, it's
to see the Oilers draft McDavid when it was already a foregone conclusion they were drafting McDavid.
I don't look at it that way at all.
No.
It's the only good thing that happened this year.
Yeah.
It was a miserable year. And more than that, this Sharks team, how many times have I said on the rundown this year, and Jason Gregor agrees, oddly enough, that the Sharks don't really have a path to be competitive until 2030. This changes that whole dynamic now. Celebrini, the way I view him, is just a small notch under Connor Bedard. So then you take Celebrini and you take a really special player in Will Smith that's at BC, probably going to leave school now to join him, and you've got your center depth for the next 15 years, 1-2 punch. That's pretty special for San Jose, and now you then begin to add other pieces. So it's still going to take them a long time, but this probably knocked 3 years off that.
Do you think there's any way Celebrini stays at BU? He just comes right out?
0% chance. And the reason why is, first off, there's a great story, too, because he played for the San Jose Sharks, San Jose Junior Sharks, 14U AAA team.
Yeah.
His dad works for the Golden State Warriors right down the road. Oh. So he's already local to the Bay Area. He's actually sort of the first ever Junior Sharks product to make it to the NHL. And the fact that they are the team that wins the lottery to get him, that's an amazing story. Plus, there's also the BU connection that exists where Mike Greer played in the 1990s. Went to 4 Frozen Fours with the coach of BU, Jay Pandolfo. They've been following, watching, loving Celebrini all year. To get their hands on him, there's really no reason for him to go back to BU. He was already, as a 17-year-old, the top player in college hockey. What's the incentive to go back and do it?
Mm-hmm. Sharks still need a head coach, right?
Yes. That job just became a lot more attractive.
I was just going to say, man, just bring Jay Pandolfo right over with him.
Bring Todd McClellan back. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, probably not.
Bring Jay Woodcroft back.
Someone should hire Todd McClellan, and someone should hire Jay Woodcroft.
Maybe together.
Someone should.
They used to work together, but I think they graduated from that.
Will someone hire both of them? I think Woody will get another job.
Jay Woodcroft reported yesterday in the mix for the New Jersey Devils. He's been very quiet. A little bit surprised how quiet it's been on that front, but I think both of them should get a crack.
Yeah. I think so too. We're getting a look here at the top coaching candidates out there right now, but a lot of jobs that need to be filled on that front.
Is Berube to the Leafs a foregone conclusion?
I don't think they haven't fired their coach yet.
Well,
yeah, that's true.
I personally think he lands in New Jersey, and I think that happens before the Leafs even get a crack.
Wow. We got to move fast then.
I don't know what more you need to see. Yeah. I don't know. At some, like, you know, you lose Saturday and not saying like you wake up on Sunday and can him, but is Monday fair? Like, I mean, what more evidence are you looking for?
Why do you need to be fair to him?
When does Mitch get traded? Graf?
You had a big debate with this on the morning with the Morning Cup of Hockey guys, didn't you?
Is it, not a debate from my end, but like the question, the only question that matters is, does this guy help you win?
No.
And the answer is no. And it's like, no one has to think about it. So move on.
Yeah.
I don't care that he scores 95 to 100 points every season. That's great. He can help get you there, which is important. You need those guys.
Yeah.
But once you get there, he needs to play in a less pressure packed environment.
Do you think he can't handle it? Do you think the Leafs get a haul for him?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be a haul because you have to fit in the contract. And then you have to theoretically, hopefully, extend him.
I said 2 first round picks are an equivalent.
I mean, I'm not going to say no. I think there's plenty of other interesting, like, you know, someone had said to me straight up Clayton Keller for Mitch Marner, who says no.
Utah.
Why?
Keller's on a better deal and he might be a similarly impactful player.
I guess you don't know what
similarly, but has never gotten to the level that Marner has.
But Keller, well, replace Keller with Marner on the Leafs.
And he probably does.
Yeah.
He's done a good amount with a lot less.
What if they're able to keep Keller and bring in Marner?
That's a different story. What do they have to give up? Just pick? Well, they have 9
They've got
picks.
A billion picks. They've got cap space. They've got prospects. And now they have an aggressive owner.
Because are they drafting 6. Second?
Oh, 6.
Sorry,
6.
Yeah. I'm quoting 6. The leaked draft board.
that was. It's so funny how when the slightest thing happens, and yeah,
there's always a leaked draft board
every year.
Doesn't come from Saravalli. It's not legit.
I had GMs quite literally messaging me yesterday, being like, "Is this it?" I'm like, well, "Are you asking me? I don't know." They're like, "This is it, isn't it?" Like they're in on it. They're like, it's not just social media. Like they're like, "Hey." Is this really what's happening? And you're like, you feel like a flat earther though, responding because you're like, no, that's not like I saw how it operates. That's not how it works. And then
it was very important that the draft did not line up or the lottery didn't line up to how it was leaked. Very important.
Why is that?
Can you imagine?
Because it just gives everyone the fuel.
Yeah.
Like, only one thing switched.
What was the one thing?
I think in the pick, Utah moved up to 2.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but that's the first. This is the first time since 2010 that the draft order finished in the exact same standings as what the league was.
Another Taylor Hall reference on the show. It's a sign.
Did you see who was it? Was it the Devils yesterday that had a bunch of Taylor Hall bobbleheads? Someone was like, "Hey, we're winning the lottery." Oh, really? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, genius.
Oh, yeah, because he's the king of it.
Sticking with the around the NHL theme, but going back to the playoffs, we had 2 overtime games yesterday, but let's start in
3
the
overtime games.
There were only 2 games.
Left. The Moose Jaw Warriors and the Saskatoon Blades. Thank you very much.
Do you want to talk about it?
Go Warriors, go.
I should wear my Fergus Circus shirt, but I'm a company man.
Great show.
Just shout out Moose Jaw Warriors. Congrats on all your
first ever WHL final.
Yes. Big news. Anyway, sorry. First ever.
They've been around a while.
Long time.
Their team is so good.
Why do you choose Pain repeatedly?
Well, I've got a lot
Oilers, Moose Jaw Warriors. I've got a Cleveland lot
of
Browns.
Roots. I've got a lot of roots in Moose Jaw, though, so it's actually a natural. Yeah. It's different than my Cleveland Browns choice, but that is due to Pain. Sorry,
Colorado Dallas.
Are you also into BDSM or no?
Jesus, right, Frank, sorry. You really are. You're on one today.
It's early. Look, Bag Milk had a Caesar before.
I'm looking at a sign that says Regretta.
I could go for a brew. Anyways, it looked like it was going to be all Dallas early in that game. And I was going to line up a great joke about how the storylines of Colorado were the same after game one and round one. And it's like, oh, go. And then they just put the pedal to the floor, come all the way back, win the damn thing in overtime as well. That asked when they want to go, they just go. They're like an avalanche.
I see what you did there. Wow, that was impressive.
On brand.
Pretty good.
But that series is going to be
unlike Liam Pod's account. Doing burger reviews.
Liam, not on brand. Liam. Burgers.
Yes.
One day.
That's it. It's just that series is going to be a dogfight. No further comment.
Do you think Dallas has a chance?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. I think they're a really good team. I think that series is destined to go seven.
Who? Okay, so assuming, you know, I just said Oilers win in five, but I don't want to get too far out of my skis. Assuming Oilers win this series.
This is the question no one in the chat wants you to ask. Go ahead.
Who do you think they match up better against? Have the best chance against?
I refuse to answer this question today. I'll wait till later in the series.
But you do have a theory.
No, I don't. I actually really don't. And I don't. It's totally inappropriate of you.
Okay.
As an Oilers fan.
That's fine.
That's how bad stuff happens to you.
Okay. Okay.
True or false?
So should I
post? You're usually the
should
YouTube
I
guy.
Post my Oilers rap video then, or should I hold off?
Yeah, you're not Please teaming up with it. The opera for part two. For
like, I mean, I know we're special? All saying that it's hard to envision a path for the Canucks to win, but like
that's what I'm saying. I don't get
they
too far
did finish ahead of you in the standings, and 100%. They did win every game.
That's
in the
what I'm saying.
Series.
Like this is that's why it's speculative. Like who's a better matchup for Vancouver?
Like this of all the like. So I've been covering the NHL for 15 years. Of all the like. The wildest and craziest upsets. Like this would not be in the top 15 if this were to happen.
100%. Okay. So then if Vancouver wins, who's a better matchup? And if Edmonton wins, who's a better matchup?
See that? Now that is an unbiased and
perfect
way to ask that question. I would say for Vancouver, it would be Dallas. And for the Oilers, it would be Colorado.
That's kind of what
the revenge angle on Colorado would be great.
It's not revenge. It's just that I think Colorado is so willing to trade chances at times that I just think if you're the Oilers, you're like, okay, fine. We'll take Skinner over Georgiev and we'll put our best against your best and let's just have an absolute fireworks of a series.
Rest versus rust to an extent in this one. The Oilers have only been off for two more days, but we saw in game one of Boston, Florida, that...
Well, rest versus rust was Dallas, Colorado. Game one, at least.
Yeah, you're right. But that was... Well, same thing, game one, Boston, Florida. Boston had, what, 48 hours from the end of their last series to the next one?
It looked like Dallas was just going to come out and roll right from game seven into one, and you're like, okay, it's going to take Colorado a minute to get their footing, and then they did. And the scary part about Colorado is, well, A, they find themselves in that position somewhat routinely, and B, that they have absolutely zero fear in digging out of it. I watched a game a few weeks ago in March against the Penguins. It was on a Sunday. They were down 4-0 in the third period and won in regulation. Like, that's bananas.
It is crazy. So again, Boston came out the less rested team, played really well. Dallas came out the less rested team, played really well early on. So that ties in to my Sherwood Power Sports and Marine key to victory for tonight. Service for all makes and models of Power Sports and Marine. Bring Sherwood Power Sports and Marine your service troubles, need an inspection, a test run, some trailer TLC, or just a fresh oil change. It is adventure time. It's summertime, and they've got you covered so you'll be ready for the season. Check them out, Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. My key to victory is going to be kind of stop the... What's the word I'm looking for? Stop the bleeding early. Bend, don't break early is the way I want to put it. Because I do think, again, if Vancouver's played as the more recent team, we've seen now in two series, the team that is, quote, less rested or more recently in action, they've come out hot. And I think Vancouver's going to come out hot on home ice. Period. Yeah, get through the first period tonight.
I disagree.
Getting out of the first period 0-0 is a victory for me tonight.
No,
shot
I disagree.
Out of a cannon?
Yeah, 100%. That's what they did in game one against the Kings. Just absolutely mauled the shit out of them.
They never did it again.
They did it in game three.
Yeah, okay.
They controlled most of game three, especially right from jump street. But that was what was missing in game two is that they showed up and were like, we just beat the wheels off this team in game one. We're good.
Game three was weird. I feel like in game one, we overpower. Game three was just weird.
But that's the best. That's the recipe for success. This market is perpetually on edge and combustible.
Likewise.
That building will be nervous if you blow their doors off in the first period.
Mm-hmm. They'll blow their own doors off after.
Their heads will explode.
Mm. So my key to victory is control the damage early. What's yours?
I'm with you. I'm with Frank on this one because this is also a statement game. Like we gotta
to send a message.
We gotta send a message. We gotta get in their heads. We have to plant a seed of doubt in the players themselves with a big, big performance. So
to assert yourself.
Exactly.
Make a statement.
Make them think they can't beat us. They came out of like
That was a 6-game series against Nashville, but it felt a lot tighter and closer than that.
But I'm sure the Canucks have all heard exactly what we've said on this show. Mm-hmm. What's the path for Vancouver to win? Huge underdogs, yep. All these things. You start to play periods like that, no score, and that momentum starts to build. Hey, we can hang with these guys. We're good. We'll, yep. You know, we'll be fine. You come out and you punch them in the face in the first period.
3-goal first period. That's the key to victory.
All of a sudden, everyone's right.
I'd feel pretty good about their chances if they pop 3 in the first, Jay.
Yeah, over 1.5, I'll bet. Over 1.5 in the first.
In the first? For the Oilers?
For the Oilers. That's my squad bet.
Over?
You've gone, you've thrown 4 different things out there since
I know, but I'm throwing that. I didn't really connect with anyone. I just throw it out, and then this one I've really connected with.
Braden is in and says, is Liam's mic working or is he sad because he's not at the aquarium? So your key to victory.
My key to victory, I'll say special teams. I think you mentioned it, Frank, on the rundown, how special teams was so crucial to for everyone's success in the first round. So if the others can start off that battle in a positive way, I think that's good for the long haul.
Aaron is
in. I have a question, though, for Frank, if you don't mind. What's the status on Henrik?
I actually don't know the answer to that question.
If we're going off morning skate yesterday, he's not playing.
Right. I would say doubtful is how I would frame it. But
yeah, we were kind of looking at the lines and the way they're locking with Janmark just slotted into that top spot. Looks like it might not be too long. Obviously, you said you don't know.
Yeah, I never got the sense when I did check in a few days ago that it was like forever long. Okay. But I think to me, just thinking back, like taking back a step back again, not knowing exactly when he's coming back. But what does this say about the Oilers' deadline? Carrick, meh.
Henrik, hurt. He was good in that series against LA when he was healthy. He scored the
good,
big goal.
Good.
Maybe not first round pick, give up good.
Oh, well, I wish we went more all in.
I'll say it now. I'd feel a lot better if Tyler Toffoli was on this roster.
I don't know. I would agree, but like, who are the teams that went all in?
Tyler Toffoli bounced in round
Vegas
one.
Went all in. They're gone. Winnipeg gone. Like, did Colorado go all in? They got Middlestad.
Sean Walker.
Duhame and Yakov Trinan.
That's four really good pieces.
Yeah, that's true.
Colorado did some real good work.
Yeah.
They changed out a quarter of the roster. Tanev was big for the Stars in round one, and they didn't give up a first.
Henrik had as many goals as McDavid in round one. Hey, I'm just reading the stats.
What's wrong with you guys? You yesterday, what was your series bet?
Oh, I bet on both Hyman and Draisaitl to get more goals than McDavid in this series.
Okay, everyone nods and they're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. McDavid, one goal so far. Last time I checked, still the best player on the planet. Yeah, and I don't care what the metrics are or whatever he did or didn't do. I'm not betting against Connor McDavid.
I'm betting on him to set up Zach Hyman a million times. Yeah.
That's like betting against the O'Doyles in Billy Madison. You never bet against
O'Doyle's rule. Yeah.
Well, Frank, best player in the world, not according to his fellow peers.
Oh yeah.
Left off the Lindsay finalists.
Don't look at me. I don't vote in that.
Who's on it?
The finalists are
Matthews, McKinnon, Kucherov. Yeah. Snubbed. Even the players get voter fatigue.
I think they got it right.
Oh, Frank, come on.
Connor McDavid will be the first person to tell you that he was not the league's most outstanding player this season, and this was not even close to the best season of his career.
And it's only
he'd be the first to tell you. Why do we even need to debate this?
Yeah, I know. He just had that rough fifth. And obviously,
how many goals did he finish with?
39?
No, he didn't even get
36.
And how many
points? I thought it was like 32.
132. And 140 points?
Yeah, 132 points.
So would anyone say that this was his best season? He had 64 last year.
Yeah. But he chooses the metric he wants to chase.
This year he wanted 100 apples.
He wanted to prove he could score 60. He did it. Now he wanted to get 100 apples. He did
it. Now he wants to get 100 in the playoffs.
Guess what the superpower is? Being able to smash all those things together at one time.
And well, he can.
Next season.
He can.
But he's electing to pass right now.
But my point is...
when he gets happens, you got to take...
Again, 64 goal scorer last year. Mm-hmm. Down this year, one in round one. I'm not betting against him.
He will be a goal scorer when he decides he needs to be a goal scorer in the playoffs. Right now, setting up is working. He makes the choice. He's that good. Like, there's
so what are you? But let's unpack that for a second. So what are you saying? He's consciously making the decision to not score.
Yes.
That's basically what you're telling us.
Like yeah, like more in love.
How
like,
do you go from 60 to 32 or 60 whatever to 32?
You cut your production in half. You're like, yeah, I decided that.
But there was a lot of times where
he actually made fun of that exact thing. He was like, wait a second. He's like, are you telling me that I've decided I want to score less this year? He made fun of that.
Scoring to him is points.
But he did his points what? Did drop.
So he got a shit ton of points, but he had a rough start to the year. If he was completely healthy, this is another 150 point season. No problem. No problem. Probably 40 plus goals.
Yeah.
No problem.
How big is it for the Oilers that they are Henrik aside? They're healthy. Like, we've seen them on playoff runs where Draisaitl's on one leg against the Flames. Darnell Nurse going into that series against the Avs a couple of years ago had his hip all thrown out. Like, their big guns, as far as we're concerned, are check, 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 healthy. That's huge.
That's one disappointing part for the Canucks for sure. Mm-hmm. No Demko. I mean, that really changes the outlook of the series. I reported yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Out at least until game four. Game five, probably pretty unlikely, but six and seven get interesting. When you start to see him take shots is when he is beginning to ramp it up. And I think he's not able, or at least the plan was that he was not able to take shots maybe until Sunday or Monday. So still a bit of a ways off. But Demko, is Hughes hurt? Then people are asking, is Pettersson hurt? No one's whispered to me that Pettersson's hurt. So I think it's just been poor play. Mm. But
that's a playoff flu.
He's got the Marner flu.
He's got the gritty.
So, oh yeah. The gritty and then you pull your hamstring. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I think health is obviously a big one coming into this. You had the report that, you know, maybe Demko could be back for game six or seven. They'd reevaluate. My thing is kind of, if the Canucks make it to game six or seven, you probably don't want to move off of Seelovs, do you?
No.
Like, if you get that far.
Yes, you do. You're taking like one of the best goalies in the world every single time.
But would he be at 100%?
But if Seelovs is...
If Seelovs has like a
mine, he's got like a 935 average in the series. Like, why would that's like that?
What are the what are the odds that Seelovs gets through the Oilers in the first five games? But
we have to think like this. We have to think like this.
I think you've
earned not given
lineup. Like you said, if Denko's healthy, you got to go.
He's a Vezina finalist and one of the five best goalies on the planet. You're playing him every time. I don't care if the new guy, the laid back Latvian, they call him, is 935. Demko can do 935. And you're only asking him to win two games at that point, or one.
I know we're keeping you long, but there was one note I wrote down and I really want to touch on it with you. You can't get suspended for missing a hit, but Jacob Trouba could almost get suspended for missing that hit.
He like, almost got injured for life.
Well, that, but also like when he's flying through the air, his elbow is out like straight 90 degrees.
We talked about this today on Daily Faceoff Live, and Colby made a great point. He said, all we're dealing with are pure hypotheticals.
Yeah.
So like,
what I guess.
Like he's like, there was no dangerous hit because he couldn't land it. And then there was no elbow because it didn't connect. And then he didn't maim himself because he almost did.
So, well, so we watch it as slow-mo. Where
people
are
like, give him a suspension. He also, like, he didn't do anything.
But he also realizes he's going into the glass head first. So that arm's going to come up naturally anyway.
No, you can actually see it go to the left to try and get his head.
No, I'm just trying to play. I know it looks it's terrible.
Gavin had a great free. He froze it exactly where you could see him moving the elbow out. And it's just.
I just don't know how Trouba caught up so easily after that.
He so almost died. Man. He almost died. Like, but it was like, what?
I was watching the game live, and then after that happened, there was like an icing or something, and the faceoff was going back down to the other end. And Trouba, the whole way back, was like lipping off Natchez, like chirping him about something.
Yeah,
like,
he was basically saying, "You're
you know what, for stopping and getting out of the way." Like,
yes,
he laid down.
Yes,
he laid down.
He straight up Luis Mendoza can't stop and just fell because he was trying to get out of the way.
I mean, I would try to get out of the way too. When Jacob Trouba's coming at you with that.
But so he realizes that he falls, tries to adjust, and on his way through goes, and then
he's just trying almost to get a piece dies. Of him.
Yeah.
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 Anyways, that was a really good hockey game yesterday. Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
It's going to be a great series. I said before, I think Stars Avs is going to be great. This one, I mean, the all Canadian part, I love. Could decidedly in the end be meh.
I think it's definitely
an all Canadian series that is not going to be on Saturday night hockey night in Canada.
That is wild.
That's too. The power of the dollar in the US.
I know.
Point. More than that, I would just say Canes Rangers could be the next.
Yeah.
Even though it's 2-0, like I think that means nothing.
Fair. All right.
Because no one's lost at home.
All right, Frank, appreciate you staying for half the show, 40 minutes. We'll probably chat again. Probably won't even wait a week. We'll probably chat again at some point on the during the series.
Yeah.
And we're doing DFO Live in person. Yes. And we're doing DFO Rundown tomorrow.
I'll be there. Whether you show up or not is up for debate.
He is saying he's doing it from the room.
I'm doing Rundown from the room at 6:30 Pacific. So wake up, boys.
Look, I'm not inviting you to have a sleepover, but I do have an extra separate room connected to my room.
Sleepover at Frank's.
Then I would have a bed.
Liam wouldn't have to sleep on the couch cushions, Tetris on the floor.
Although that is the fun part of these trips. Building the bed.
It's the real puzzle to solve.
Like my kids, like building a fort. I'm building a fort.
That's great.
I built a fort last time.
And then he comes in, he's carrying his briefcase, and I am on a work trip.
Do you want to give us a prediction for game one, Frank?
Oilers 4-1.
Ooh. Oilers 4-1. Good game from Stu Skinner. All right. Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff on the Star Mechanical Guest Line, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. Thank you, Frank.
See you guys.
There you go. Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company for over 20 years. You can find out more about what makes them great over at starmechanical.ca. Residential, commercial, 24/7 emergency service. They really can do it all at Star Mechanical, and that's what's made them one of Edmonton's most trusted brands. Frank or bagged milk? Hello, Mr. Bagged Milk.
The seat is very warm. I'm channeling the Saravalli caboose.
He's also spicy too.
Are you feeling the breaking news like rushing into your brain sitting on his throne?
Well, what I'm planning on doing actually over the course of the next couple of days is I'm going to pin him down somewhere and I'm going to steal his phone to see what's actually in there.
Mm.
That's the plan.
I'd love to see the contact list.
To start texting.
And I wonder if he has like code names.
I bet it's just straight up Gary B. That's what he calls him probably.
Yeah, does he have nicknames?
Yeah.
G Bizzle.
The commish.
The commish. You sat and just hung out behind the scenes, and we'll call that our green room.
I was also producing for you. I hooked you up with a radio hit coming up a little bit.
I got a radio hit now at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, Pacific. 2 o'clock Pacific.
Shout out to our boy Min Dalawal.
Yep.
You heard us chatting about this series, the matchup, and all of that. What are your nerves like heading into game one of this series when it comes to the Oilers' chances against a Canucks team? Edmonton's been off 7 days. Vancouver's been off 5. What do you think?
I want the Oilers to hit the ice with purpose. They got the rest. I was listening to Frank talk about how important rest is in the playoffs. I agree with that. I just want them to go nuts out from the first shift. I want them to dominate. I don't want them to sit back. Yes, it's a road game. Yes, Rogers Arena is going to be bumping, but like take the crowd out of it. There's going to be a lot of Oilers fans in there tonight too. Give them something to cheer about. I think if you put the Canucks on the ropes early, they're going to crumble. And I think the Oilers have the skill to do it. I want another game one, another game three, like we saw against LA. Quick start, early goals, kill them with fire. Let's ride.
I want to dig into the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat for a little bit here. Charm Diamond Center is proudly Canadian owned and operated since 1972 with more than 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. You can check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mined diamonds, and you don't have to pay until 2025 with their instant in-store financing. OAC.
OAC.
Find what does that mean again?
On approved credit.
Hey!
For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. We got one in here from Hamish, who says, Big 6'4".
Hamish.
Hamish?
Yes, definitely Hamish.
I'm half Scottish, so I'm offended.
Well, he said, big 6:40 a.m. shout-out from New Zealand. I usually only get to catch the podcast after, so shout-out to Hamish.
Welcome.
For tuning in up bright and early in New Zealand.
6:40.
6:40.
That's good living time. Up and at them. Early bird, they say.
Captain Felton, Stanley Park pitch and putt Friday. Maybe tomorrow if we have time.
I love Stanley Park.
I also love Stanley Park.
The aquarium's there, Tyler.
Oh, it is there.
How far is it from where we are right now?
A bit of a walk, right? It's on the other side of the bay.
Okay, a bit of a walk. Yeah, that's fine.
Quick Uber.
Well, we got legs. Over there.
Oh, we can walk. It's fine.
2 feet in a heartbeat.
27 yeah. degrees.
There's a nice
tomorrow.
Brewery in Stanley Park.
There's lots to do. Great.
I once read a book in Stanley Park.
Wow. What book?
It was called Big Sam. It was about Bolton Wanderers. He was the manager of them.
I thought it was Sam Gagne's autobiography.
No. Soon.
Sean says he loves the prediction. Sean loves the prediction from Frank. He's spending $100 on Oilers to win 4-1. Very bold.
Wow. Hey, man. Hope you hit, because that is going to be delicious.
Very, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Bye, Frank.
Frank is going with sales guy Jared, who said he was going to get us beers, and now he's leaving.
That was very upsetting from him. The oily accountant is in and says, got to start Dry and Kane to start the game, set the tone with some hits and a goal. Evander Kane, I thought, had himself a really, really good first round, considering all the drama and certain things that were, you know, again, he came out and said the injury that led to all thing. But then on the ice, I thought he was vintage Evander Kane. And we honestly didn't see that for like 40 some games in the regular season. So he's clearly battling some sort of an injury. He didn't skate these last couple of days, but it's expected that he's going to be ready to go tonight. And he is, you know, it's a cliche kind of conversation, but he is an X factor for this team. And going up against Vancouver, they have guys who will get under your skin. Dakota Joshua, Connor Garland, Tyler Myers, Nikita Zadorov. I think having Kane be vintage Kane, both in the goal scoring department, but also in the pest department, is going to be massive.
Yeah, he was really good in the first round, like you said. But one thing that I think will be interesting about this round with Kane is, does he engage in that stuff like you just suggested? Like, does he need to? Like, I don't think you need to do that to get the best out of Evander Kane. I think
I want him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want him in there.
Playoff Kane involves also, that element. He should be focusing on Quinn Hughes and Hronek.
But what I thought he did really well in the first
engage it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But what I thought Kane did really well in the first round was he was laying the body, he was hitting, he was skating, he was forechecking, but he also knew where the line was.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He didn't cross the line at all against LA, but I want him hitting the defense.
Yeah.
I want Evander Kane flying around, throwing big hits. Their defense, specifically Quinn Hughes, he's a small dude. If you can catch him with enough of those, it will affect him through the series.
Yes, and clearly he's feeling the effects from the Nashville series.
The narrative that this Vancouver blue line is huge and should be intimidating is so interesting to me, because the Oilers blue line is just as big, if not bigger than them. All six of them together are bigger than what the Canucks have to
put. Can we do the math? Can we do a graphic?
It is. Like, defensemen under 6'1".
But we need to stack them all on top of each other, Eric.
Yeah, but Myers knows how to hit, and he's looking for the big hit.
Yeah.
Zadorov knows how to hit. He's looking for a big hit. We don't have any defenders that look for the big hit.
Nurse Ekholm does.
I wouldn't say Nurse is a great hitter, and that's not even a knock.
Ekholm will kill people.
Ekholm can. He doesn't often, though. He doesn't often.
No, he picks his spots, though.
But Tyler Myers and Zadorov are looking for that.
Yeah, but I appreciate our defenseman who can be physical and also play the puck. Like, I think I would.
But I'm talking about the physicality side.
Yeah, I suppose. But I think we can just play around those guys. Like, Zadorov was in that series.
Connor McDavid looks at Nikita Zadorov, and all he sees is a giant orange pylon. He just skates under his arms in his triangle, whatever he wants. Like, Zadorov's a non-factor against Connor McDavid.
Yeah. This game is really throwing me off. There is a variety of things going on there.
Well, Buck Hunter crossover with zombie hunting, like I'll be playing that tonight.
But then also, there's a rotation of a Duck Dynasty commercial that keeps coming on.
Well, because it's Buck Hunter, it's all connected.
But it's very distracting.
All I was hoping I was waiting to come on, and I was sitting here watching you guys do your thing. But what I really wanted to do is get a game card and just go around and play, because there's nobody in here right now. It is not open yet, and this is Bag Milk's time. Bag Milk's time with the games.
This mural looks so good.
Yeah, it's a great backdrop. What does it say?
I have to read it.
It says
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, all the classics.
Juicy. Oh, yeah.
No, it's the quote from Juicy.
When B.I. was Dead G. Broke Doesn't not?
It? Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Oh, you're right.
Green leather, green money sofa.
What is that?
Got two rides, a limousine with a chauffeur.
I don't know what that is.
Two G's flat. No need to worry. My accountant handles that. You've never heard Juicy beat Notorious B.I.G. Juicy. Come on.
That's from the delivery for me was
that's tremendous.
Oh my god, it's like one of those songs you should know all the words to.
Aaron just said that's the coolest thing Jay's ever done. We're gonna be here on Friday for those of you in the Vancouver area who want to do a little pre-gaming with us for that one. So looking forward to that. Tonight
we're gonna be at Black Frog.
We're gonna be at Black Frog. So little change of plans for this evening. We're going to be at Black Frog, but excited to go there. If you're in the Vancouver area, Puck drop tonight is at 7. We usually like to head to the rink around 6. So are we thinking Black Frog around 4?
Yeah, be there around 4.
Be there around
Hang
4.
There for a couple hours. Very Edmonton-focused place. Green onion cakes on the menu.
Do they? I love green onion cakes.
I'm going to be eating that tonight. That sounds delicious. Gentlemen, I want to get into some betting talk as we do when we're on the road. We're going to build up a squad bet, but we also have the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge right now with our friends at Betway. You can get a $200 free bet if your first bet loses. How does it work? Well, you place a bet with no minimum amount required, and if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to go bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. How do you sign up? Well, create a new account by scanning the QR code that is on your screen right now and then redeem your bonus. A free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Let's start with the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge, gentlemen. Through round one, that would be 5 games for the Edmonton Oilers that we covered. And do we have a standings? Liam, do we put together an updated graphic?
Yeah.
Do we? Maybe not. Oh,
it's
we do.
Right there.
Liam, we're all down. We're all down a little, yeah, which is surprising.
Series where the Oilers went 5-1. We somehow are down.
So what was the tactic here? Why are we down?
So Tyler went double puck line.
I went double puck line one game, didn't
Jay
hit.
Jay went under last game.
And didn't hit.
And I went McDavid goal.
And it didn't hit.
And that
didn't hit. Tonight, Liam, you're riding with big number 29?
Yes, the big man. 2 points from Draisaitl. I might sprinkle some stuff on his power play points too if I can find a good line over on Betway.
Draisaitl, 2+ points, +120. I'm going Zach Hyman over 3.5 shots. He hit this in 3 of his 5 games against the Kings, including a game where he had 9 total shots on net. I think with, you know, Janmark or whoever on the far left side, you know, maybe McDavid's looking for Hyman a little bit more in this one. Maybe Hyman at least is more interested in just funneling pucks towards the net. So I like going Hyman over 3.5 shots up on the top line, +110 too. Jay?
I've got the juiciest of the bets, and it seems like the most practical. Oilers money line over 5.5 goals. We expect Oilers to come out hot and get a bunch of goals. I'm also very conservative in the playoffs because I'm just about manifesting W's. Mm-hmm. It's not about getting really lost. And yes, I'm going to play in the props, but when it comes to the betting challenge, it's about picking the bet that manifests the outcome that I want. And it's just an Oiler W.
It's
juice it up with over 5.5 to make it, you know, a little bit juicier.
Yep.
And that's that.
All about just going out and getting that dub. BM, let's do a little squad ride here, gentlemen. Let's pick a leg and see how we can do. See if we can go 4-for-4 in this one tonight. Is there something that you love tonight that really stands out to you on the betting front over on Betway?
Actually, you know what? I just put a little sprinkle. It doesn't help us here specifically for what doing a squad ride, but I just put Oilers to win, Oilers to win money line, Zach Hyman to score 1+ point, +145.
That seems like a nice spot.
You just put that right in there.
Yeah.
Seems very comfortable.
Power, a nice little play because, you know, power play should be solid and all of that. He's obviously a big part there. I also think we'll see a lot of McDavid and Hyman. I think they'll see a lot of offensive zone starts with just a random left winger, whether it's Draisaitl moving up for a shift, whether it's Holloway getting a shift, Fogle for a shift.
Holloway goal.
Ooh. That would be interesting. But squad bet wise, is someone want to step up and lay down the first leg here?
Yeah. Oilers over 1.5 goals in the first period.
The Oilers themselves over 1.5 in the first period.
Yes.
Hot damn, Jay. Hot damn.
We got Liam.
Trying to figure something out here.
Manifesting.
I'll go Hyman goal. I think I'm going to go Hyman goal. I like the shot prop, but I also like Hyman similar to the first game against the LA Kings when he popped home a hat trick. I think Hyman's going to come out of the gates really strong here tonight. I like him to bang one in back door. So give me a Zach Hyman goal to go with Oilers over 1.5 in the first.
Dry power play point.
Dry even power money. Play point. Even money.
I will then.
That's good at even money.
I'm going to tail Liam then on that, and I'm going to go Evan Bouchard power play point +130.
There's a good amount of correlation here in everything we're betting. Like, there is a chance if in the first period it goes Bouchard, Draisaitl, backdoor Hyman, boom, it's in. We could hit all our bets on one goal, more or less. So I think this is a decent squad ride. Leon Draisaitl finished last round with 7 power play points against the LA Kings.
That's not bad.
Not bad, considering they played 5 games.
Safe bet at home.
He also scored 3 of his 5 goals on the man advantage as well. You guys know when the Oilers play the Kings, I like to give out my rat list every year. Let's talk about the Vancouver Canucks and who we think we're going to get absolutely sick of by the end of this series. Talking to Quads earlier in the week, I brought up Dakota Joshua just because I could see him scoring a big goal and being an absolute pain in the ass on top of it. Quads followed up. He said Connor Garland is going to be a guy who you absolutely despise by the end of this series. Is there anyone on this team who you guys think you're just going to be totally sick of by Hoglander. Like game two? Why Hoglander?
He can be a bit of a... He can be annoying.
I'm going to say JT Miller. He already annoys me. We haven't even played yet.
Yeah, I was going to say Miller as well, especially if he's going to be the one who shadows McDavid. I think we can see ourselves getting pretty frustrated.
I hope Connor just like... Connor goes zen. It lets JT Miller hook and grab and claw because we'll torch him on the power play. How he's going to stop.
You know Connor will. It's just, well, Ken Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's that matchup, Ken Leon.
And will the refs call it?
That's a big one. I've kind of hit that on a handful of shows and pods this week. It's like similar to LA, how the refs want to call this series will have an impact on how the games go. Not to say like the Oilers proved in round one, they can win a game where that's one power play aside. They did it in game four. I also think they get their percentage chances of winning shoots way up if there's 13 power plays in a game or 8 power plays in a game or whatever it ends up being. So Sam Carrick is in. Pettersson is a known diver. We have a Canucks fan in here right now that said this show is making him appreciate Quads and Harm even more.
You're welcome.
It's because Quads has got the mustache right now. He's got the big Dave mustache.
I want to see him in person.
Oh, I need to see this. Is he popping turtlenecks too?
Well, he's got to.
That's kind of his vibe.
Yeah,
I like that's kind of his
vibe. The big Dave mustache. I saw it yesterday on Canucks Conversation.
It's a shame he's a Canucks fan because I do really enjoy the person.
We could convert him, I think. I don't think it would be a hard push.
He did say he thinks the Oilers are winning the cup at the start of the year.
He also said he thinks the Oilers are going to win this series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's trying to do a reverse jinx.
Could be. He's crafty.
He works in mysterious ways, Big Dave.
Yep.
Let's continue the game preview with our lineup report for our friends over at Douglas Mattress. You can order yours today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. They're handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. I've been sleeping on a Douglas for months. Getting out of it today at 4:30 in the morning was not fun. I could have stayed in there for another handful of hours. Right now, every mattress order comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. You get 2 memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, 1 luxurious cotton sheet set, and 1 mattress protector free with any mattress order. Support a locally owned and operated Edmonton company and order today at douglas.ca/DFO. To the Canucks fan in the chat, I think you should get yourself on a Douglas and you should be. You're going to need to fall asleep easily after the Oilers beat the hell out of your team over the next handful of nights here.
To emotionally recover.
Yeah, emotionally recover, emotionally recharge on a Douglas. For the Canucks, top line, JT Miller, Brock Besser, and Pius Suter is going to be who's lining up for them. JT Miller had himself, you know, a solid series in the opener. And I also think he's going to be the guy tasked going head-to-head with Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. If you talk about someone who I think Oilers fans might get sick of, if Miller can successfully shut down 97 at 5-on-5, you are going to be sick of him because it probably means he's getting away with murder. He's going to be clutching and grabbing and whacking him and doing greasy shit after the whistle. JT Miller is going to be a massive factor in this series if the Canucks are going to have success.
Yeah, and I'm not normally one to talk about this type of stuff, but if he plays like a rat and the refs call it the right way, then we'll beat him on the power play. So rat away, JT. That's what I say.
The second line for the Canucks, it's going to be the bounce back line, or the line they're hoping can bounce back. Elias Pettersson with Nils Höglander and Ilya Mikheyev. The third line is another interesting group. I would expect this trio to see a lot of Leon Draisaitl. It's Dakota Joshua, Elias Lindholm, and Connor Garland. Elias Lindholm came through with the one big goal for the Canucks in round one.
Yeah, Connor Garland, Derek Ryan fight.
Or Nuge tunes him up.
Ooh, that'd be great. Uh-oh. If Nuge can get into it.
Nuge would fight anyone in that lineup.
Teddy Bluger, Phil DiGiuseppe, and Sam Lafferty are the fourth line. On the blue line, it's Quinn Hughes with Philip Hronek, Carson Soucy with Tyler Myers, and Nikita Zadorov with Ian Cole. One thing that stands out to me here, not that any of them are exceptionally poor skaters, but when you look at that bottom four group there, Connor McDavid can burn those guys. If Connor gets skating downhill, he can walk every single one of those four bottom four D-men.
Outside of Myers, but even not that far outside of Myers, they are all playing like relatively even minutes.
Yeah, they really do. Even Hughes, like you would think playoff time, you're playing your number one D-man a lot more. Hughes' minutes are actually down on average about 90 seconds a game compared to where they were in the regular season. So they really are going with a balanced approach on the blue line. I am intrigued to see if that ends up changing, though, because again, you might want your more trustworthy guys to go out there against Connor and Leon. I don't wonder if we see a spike up in Hughes and Hronek usage with the Canucks having last change for games one and two, you know?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know. Like, that blue line just doesn't worry me that much. Like, obviously, that pairing of Hughes and Hronek is really good, but I do think the Oilers' speed is just going to be such a factor against them that they're going to struggle to find the matchup in some points.
Yeah, as long as we bring our boots.
Yeah, that's really could be it. Because, like, I don't think LA's defense is overly mobile, but I think they skate better than players in that group.
Like, yeah, I think so.
Matt Roy, Gavrikov skates really well.
Mikey Anderson moves better. Doughty moves well.
Jordan Spence is on that. Who's the other?
Spence was very noticeable.
I liked him a lot.
Englund was really the only bad skater.
Yeah, and even he's not awful.
He's big, but
he's just he's kind of like what these guys are.
He's a prick.
Arthur Skilov's going to be the starter for Vancouver regular season and playoffs. He has played a grand total of 12 NHL games, just 12 starts in his career.
That actually makes me nervous just because he doesn't know any better. He's so new that he just goes in there and vibes.
And he's a 938 in his playoff appearances, right? That's what I see. Yeah,
938 against the Predators in three games, a 170 goals against average, had that big shutout for the Canucks in their clinching game back on May 3rd. The lineup for the Edmonton Oilers is expected to start with Connor McDavid centering Zach Hyman and Matthias Janmark. The second line is Nuge, Dreisaitl, and Evander Kane. Third line, Dylan Holloway, Ryan McLeod, and Corey Perry. Warren Fogle is on the fourth line with Derek Ryan and Connor Brown. Playoff Connor Brown. I'm in. I'm so in on this. I want nothing more tonight. If a genie popped up through one of the machines at Greta and said, Tyler, you can pick one goal scorer this evening, I would probably pick Dylan Holloway, but Connor Brown would be a close second, damn it. I want to see him do something good. I want to see a big Connor Brown celebration tonight. I want to see him work his way into the lineup and not leave the lineup.
There's a nice story to be had there. He shows up in the playoffs and is a factor.
Yeah.
Then it'd be like that. Then the regular season was all worth it.
Who was the fourth line? Brown, Ryan, and
Fogle. That's an interesting group, man. That's two wingers that can move pretty well. Derek Ryan, Mr. Dependable. Like, I like that fourth line.
I didn't know what to call it tonight.
Yeah.
And that is the minimum request from me.
We need playoff Fogle. We've not seen playoff Fogle yet.
I just don't have standards for Connor Brown anymore. And that sounds like a really negative thing, but like, we went the whole season of being like, tonight's the night.
It's going to be hard for him to be disappointing tonight. I'll say that.
Yeah. Go out there.
I'm going the other way. This is his Pisani moment.
Really?
He is being summoned by the gods to step in a spot that is difficult. He has not played yet. Connor Brown, give it to me, buddy.
Selly TV said we should toss Pisani in Henrik's spot.
Just actually play Fernando Pisani.
Yeah.
Just by the way, a minute ago, Chris Knobloch did confirm that Henrik is out and it's going to be Connor Brown in the lineup.
Is it upper or lower? Like, what's
it's lower leg.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news?
All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Lower leg.
So like ankle sprain?
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that. Jay is in and says, put Nuge on the first line. I don't want to mess with that second line right now. And I'm okay having some sort of a rotation next to Connor McDavid and just kind of doing different looks at different parts in the game. I think offensive zone draw, go with Holloway. I think if you want to, if Fogle seems to be moving really, really well, yeah, just move Fogle up there for a couple of shifts. Like, you're not committed.
It'll be a rotating
test. Yeah, you're not committed to having Janmark up there at all. If there's, you know, let's say 15 5-on-5 minutes to go around with Connor McDavid tonight, I honestly think it'll be like six or seven for Janmark, and then like four for Holloway, four for Fogle. I think we see a really, really healthy and steady rotation between these three. Sean, is Fogle pissed he's still on the fourth line when a spot opens on the top line? I mean, whether he's pissed or not is kind of irrelevant. He needs to play better. He's one of those guys for me. If you look at that forward lineup, I want to see him and Corey Perry take big, big steps forward in this series.
That's a good name to bring up, is Corey Perry. If we can get some playoff Perry action too, he can be a big factor. He should be our rat.
Yeah, he needs to be more involved in that regard. Yeah, and
I think he will.
I think he'll be fine.
He's the king of the rats.
I know. It's coming.
Problem was, it felt like the refs were kind of on him in the LA series. Like, he wasn't getting away with anything. He took those three minor penalties. One of them was him just falling, but like, you know, that one time he went to the net and kind of did the, I think it was an accidentally on purpose fall into Talbot. And it was like, yeah, okay, like, they called him on that. And then he was putting the stick in Dubois, and they were, okay, they called him on it immediately.
So we got a little gun shy. New round, new rules.
New round, new rules. Not reading that from Mainlander Tim. Just going to keep moving along. Dacky is in. Fogle's work in the corners will come up huge for us against Vancouver. Sean, that's what's great about this team, is we rolled through round one with not our whole team playing their A game. And I think that's a really, really good point as well. There's actually room for the Oilers to be better than they were against the LA Kings, and they still finished off that series in five games. Maynard is in and says, the Blue Jays are winning. This is not a drill. Jays up 4-1.
Who are they playing?
The Phillies. Suck it, Frank.
Yeah.
They're playing themselves.
Well, that too. Bo Bichette got a hit. What an electric game.
He moved him down to the lineup.
Novel idea. Bat on ball.
Bat on ball. Figure that out. All right, where do we have to go to next on the show? We did the lineup report. Oh, I got some game notes here as well. I figured I would pass along. In terms of the Oilers and the Canucks this year, we all know Vancouver dominated that matchup. Leon Draisaitl finished the year, though, with 3 goals in 4 games against the Canucks. But how about Connor McDavid? In the 3 games that he actually played against Vancouver this year, he finished with 3 points. So his points per game was, math guy?
I wasn't listening.
It was 1. Before this year, though, in McDavid's career, his points per game against the Canucks is 1.65. 22 goals, 39 assists, 61 points in 37 games. But if you go just the 3 seasons before this one, which includes that Canadian division year where he got to play the Canucks a ton, he torched them. His points per game in that stretch, 2.13. 14 goals, 20 assists, 34 points in 16 games against Vancouver.
But to be fair, they were really bad.
Still, he torched them.
Yeah.
One guy who was not good in this head-to-head in his career is Stuart Skinner. Season, he was 0-3-0 with an .830 save percentage and a .460 goals against average. In his career, he's 1-4-1, and the numbers are pretty much exactly the same. That goals against are just right around 4.5 save percentage, down in the mid-800s. It's not good enough. Skinner, to his credit, very good against the LA Kings in his regular season career, and he was very good in round one with the exception of 1 game. What's your guys' confidence level at with Stu, even though his career numbers aren't that good against the Canucks?
Extremely high.
Extremely high.
Last time they played the Canucks in what was basically a 1-goal game, he had a .924.
Yep.
And what was a very important game, trying to win the division without Connor McDavid. We just saw Stuart Skinner basically win us 2 games in the first round, maybe 1, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, game 3, he was excellent, and you could argue better than he was in game 4, but he didn't win them that game because the 6 goals won him, but game 4, they needed him, yeah.
I think he's the best goalie in the series when he's on his game. He needs to play the way he can. If he plays like he did in game 2, then The Oilers' chances are going to be slim.
But the Oilers were also not good in game two.
Yep.
It was a collective brain fart, that one.
It just felt like in that game, he just never felt comfortable. And maybe that's because the team in front of him was playing so poorly, but like, pucks are coming towards him. Everything seemed to bounce off him and then just couldn't get position in net and didn't have a lot of confidence in him. But then to bounce back the way he did in 3 and 4 just shows that, like, he's matured as a goalie now. Like, those problems last season aren't a problem anymore.
Fighting Amish, 8 out of 10 confidence in Stu. Rusty, Skinner is going to be elite. Loyal to the Oil, Skinner is elite. He's got this. Mainlander, Tim, Skinner's due for a good game versus Vancouver. Try and argue against that. BM, where are you at with Stuart Skinner? On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level?
12.
12.
Stu's got this. I feel like a lot of the issues are kind of overblown with Stu. Like, even in round one, people were complaining about game one. 3 of those goals were not his fault. Unlucky bounces. But the way he bounced back from those unlucky bounces, including in game 5, the goal off the stanchion, you got to like the way that he responded to those moments. So I think Stu's learned some lessons over the last couple of years. And sometimes they haven't always been easy, but Stu is the more experienced of the two goalies. He's steady, was steady all through the first round outside of the one game, which he himself called himself out for. Mm-hmm. I got full confidence in Stu.
He is seasoned.
He is seasoned.
He has got seasoning.
It's one thing that was said before that we talked about with Seelovs is that, like, he is fresh to the league and all that and, like, probably has nothing to worry about. I was like, yes, but in the same breath, if the Oilers get on top of him early, then he's also not been in that situation many times before too. So you got to expose him. Like, the Oilers do have the better goaltender in this situation. And like Stu said back in whenever it was when they played Vancouver, I think it was November, I have to be better than the other goalie at the other end of the ice. That's my only goal. He has to be better, and I think he will be better.
Pettersson is in, by the way, for those wondering. I know he missed yesterday because he was sick. Bo says hopefully Pettersson can continue to be a ghost. Jay says, is Elias mentally in? And I think that is a fantastic question as
it's
well.
A flu of the mind.
Yeah, we got a little bit more time left in the show, gentlemen. Let's get into some more playoff coverage for our friends at Boston Pizza. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won hockey's ultimate prize. For some teams, a lot longer. What would it take for hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end this drought? Is it their team or nothing, or could they get behind a rival under the right circumstances, team up for the win, and end Canada's 30-year drought? The Oilers could very well beat the final Canadian team standing at the end of this series against Vancouver. I could go for some Bandera bread right now. I could go for some Thai chili bites.
And one thing BB's does well on the lounge side, or it's on both sides, ice cold draft beer.
Mm-hmm. So cold.
I want them to come up with a Boston Brute bazooka. And they are just firing those into the crowd.
Side dipping sauce
with
too somehow?
The side marinara sauce.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I thought of the other day that happened when we were in LA?
I thought of this too.
They were doing the t-shirt drop from the like rafters at Staples Center and dropping them down in parachutes. And one of the parachutes didn't open. And it just came down and smoked someone. Smoked them. And I was just thinking, man, it would one that comes from a high distance at Crypto Arena in LA. Can you imagine you're not paying attention during the Don't Air Gun in Edmonton? And you're just like, and then
to be fair, they shoot it like 2 feet. It like just
You're right.
Like that, and I know they're doing it for liability reasons, but I feel like they need to up the
like we ought to crank that thing up, like fire that up into the top sections.
Yeah.
That's what I want. The Boston Brute bazooka will fire that thing city blocks.
Yes. And if you're having a brute, my hack with it is with the side sauce, you also get a bunch of hot sauce infuse it with hot sauce.
You got
mix it up.
It's amazing.
Yep. Become your own BP's chef. I don't hate that. The other series going on right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Tonight is Boston, Florida game 2. I think I kind of like Florida to bounce back in this 100%. One. I don't think they lose back to back on home ice there.
100%. No, I think that would be a bit much.
They weren't ready. They came in comfortable. And that's sometimes the risk with when you have a bit of a break, and like that's why it's even more important, you know, to be able to come out hot in that first period, which they weren't. And Boston still kind of had their kind of game legs and brought that in and had their rhythm and took advantage of that. Sorry, I'm cutting you off.
No,
but just really stresses the importance of the Oilers showing up. But I agree, bounce back game 2.
I wonder about the future of Olmark in Boston. Just with like,
how, well, his future is he very, doesn't have one. Yeah.
Very easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, his future is he doesn't have one. They're only trying to move him at the deadline, I guess. Right.
Yeah.
He's done. So, do you think
he'll be a Leaf?
Can you imagine that? No, there's no way.
Get rid of Marner.
He'll be a king. He'll agree to go there in the summer.
Fair.
I wonder if they'll take back.
Rob Blake says they're not buying up Pierre-Luc Dubois, yeah.
which is
a hilarious headline.
I love that.
Perfect. That's great for them.
That's a smart move, BM.
In fact, I think they should try to extend him further. I don't think that's a rule you're allowed to do, but I think they should explore it.
The double extension?
I think it's been great. If you can dump off another asset or two to make that second extension happen, I think that's just a great move for the Kings.
Fair enough.
That Kempe deal is pretty good. Do they have 5.5 with
Kempe? Kempe is a weapon.
Yeah, he's
27.
I like
he's Adrian a factor, Kempe. Man.
Rob says he isn't buying him out because Blake's getting fired. And I think they would have done that already. Florida gentleman sweep. I give Boston and Swayman specifically a little bit more credit than that. I don't think it's going to be a full gentleman sweep.
I give Swayman the credit.
Tomorrow, Rangers, Canes, Colorado, Dallas. What was your answer to the question you wanted Frank to answer? Like, which team did
you... Oh, I just asked which
team. I couldn't believe you asked that.
Why?
I was sitting over there stunned. Job's not finished.
I said, I don't want to get ahead of my skis, but just like speculatively, do you want to do that? But then he said what he said, so then I rephrased it.
That's fine. So job's not finished.
I'm just curious of like what... Yeah.
Job hasn't even started
yet.
That's
what I mean. Like, I can't even think about it.
I'm 100% with you on that.
I mean, speaking of getting ahead, Matthias Janmark in the chat, I'd love for the Rangers to get eliminated so we don't need to play them. That is miles down the road. We are a long, long ways. We're a long, 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 long ways.
I just... Actually, the only team I don't want to play is Florida.
I'm going to get to our boy...
I look forward to game one.
Our boy Waz dropped a great stat in the chat. The Oilers roster has a combined 1,101 games played in the playoffs. The Canucks have 574. Double.
He counted those all individually, by the way.
Fingers and toes.
Took him all day.
And he went through every game.
He watched every game.
Yeah.
That's actually, again, almost double the playoff experience. I think that does speak to something. Like, we've talked to Frank about that in the past. I think this Oilers team really has learned from their lessons of the past. And that's why I'm more confident in a solid game one than a game one letdown.
I think that the Oilers are... they've seen more stuff come their way, and I think that they have to learn the lessons from it. And the LA Kings series is a good example. It went from 7 to 6 to 5 games. They're learning their lessons. They have to win in different ways. They can't all be run and gun. It can't all be a track meet. Sometimes you have to grind out an ugly one, and the Oilers did that in round one, and I think they'll probably have to do it at least a time or two in round two.
What are we expecting from the crowd tonight in Vancouver in relation to us?
It's not going to be good.
No, it's going to be spicy. I don't know if it's going to be...
it's not going to be
hateful, like, or just spicy.
I think it'll be hateful. I think we'll get some legitimate hate.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Like, I think there's also going to be a lot of Withers fans in there.
That's fair.
Well, but not a lot, a lot.
Well, not like we're at Monolith Arena, but there's going to be more Withers fans here than in LA.
5%? 10%?
I'll give you 10.
1,800 Withers fans here tonight?
Yeah.
I can see it. 10%, but that's the max.
I don't know, man. We'll see. We travel well.
I know we travel well, but there's also in the playoffs, there's only so many tickets you can buy.
Yeah,
we travel well, and also I think there are a lot of transplants living in Vancouver.
That's what I'm thinking.
A lot of Edmontonians, a lot of Albertans who are big.
Like, if Captain Felton's in the chat, he's probably been singing the gospel of the Oilers since the moment he landed in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. Yep. Dangerous Wade says that 8-year-old angry Canucks fan is going to fight Tyler. That was a very cringy video, but the Oilers side of the fan base has been getting flamed for some somewhat cringy videos as well. So that's another side of this thing that I'm...
How dare you be unbiased?
I'm just saying, I wasn't a... Just like, stop releasing musicals.
Yeah, or
Tyler, if you see that kid, you punch him in the face.
I will never hit a child.
I'm kidding. Do not do that.
Why?
Why that?
But I would never hit a child.
I would never hit someone else's child.
Well,
I don't have a kid. See what I did there?
Somebody said 8:20 puck drop because the game's on ESPN, by the way. Yeah, I just assume every puck drop is 20 minutes after the posted time at this point. But yeah, probably an 820 mountain puck drop. Our boy AB has got you covered with pre-gaming. That thing gets going at 7 o'clock, and he's going to be doing it live from Greta in downtown Edmonton, our party spot for the game. If you are looking for somewhere, not just pre-game, not just post-game, but during the game as well, Greta's got you covered. Arcade, bar, street food, it is all absolutely top-notch. And you can see Aaron and the boys, Pat Puff, Brett's going to be there. I'm sure Waz is probably hanging around tonight as well. Waz is probably already
the football game.
Yeah, trying to get better.
The football game's in the back corner.
He's weirdly getting worse.
But Greta is your spot tonight. Pre-gaming with Boardsy and then Oilers Nation After Dark as well, which is good. Again,
Greta, our watch party just first comes to serve, right? Can you reserve tables and stuff?
I don't know.
Maybe it's first come, first serve.
People are asking.
Just get there early.
I think they do take a certain amount of resos.
It's got to be small, though. Yeah, so no, like, just get small. There. Plan no, to get there early.
100%.
Post up early. Have yourself something to eat.
Yeah. And just so that there's no confusion, because I saw in the chat when we were talking about what we're doing today, we're in Vancouver right now.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to the game tonight.
Yes.
Greta's got some crazy event going on tonight. So we are having our pregame party at Black Frog, which is an Edmonton-owned bar. So we want to support fellow Edmontonians.
Yep.
So tonight, people in Vancouver going to the game, let's go pregame together at Black Frog. People in Edmonton, go see the crew at Greta downtown.
On Friday, though, we will be here for game two. We will be at Greta in Vancouver.
Playing games. Playing doing games. A pregame show. No pregame show tonight. Just your standard 1 hour pregaming with Boardsy.
Maybe an Insta Live.
Maybe an Insta Live.
Maybe keep it locked on the Instagram. Live.
We'll see what we end up getting up to. This up in for we have a bunch. I love that Canucks fans are just dropping and giving us the views. The Hootens, Sealovs, probably sweeps this up in 4 TBH.
Yep.
If the Canucks sweep the Oilers, I'll eat cat food again.
Well, hopefully we don't have to see that.
There's no way a second cat food bet comes true.
I agree. You already paid the debt of the first one.
I just love how confident Canucks fans are. That's what I like. That's what I like.
Yeah. It's a weird confidence too. I get they won the division, but like, did you watch your team against Nashville?
They won the division, but like the Oilers also gave them a 2 month head start.
And they almost lost it.
Called them.
So again,
it'll be a good series.
If you're in Edmonton,
series.
Yeah. If you're in Edmonton, Greta, if you're in Vancouver, Black Frog, if you're in St. John's, Mainlander Tim says his house is open.
Let's go.
Yeah.
11 or 10:30 bucks.
Fridge
drop.
Is probably full of dildos.
Oh, he's got all the dildos and they're ice cold.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Just Tyler, you're fired if this bet comes true. Oilers fans, never overconfident. Tyler's fired. Yeah, saw that one. The cat food is stronger than the Oilers. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. 11:50 puck drop. Oh, for our boy Mainlander Tim.
You're a good man, Tim.
Dave Blunt says we're throwing up bad juju. Yeah, maybe. Maybe we're a little overconfident.
Job is not done. A huge game. The Oilers have to come out, play simple hockey.
They're going to be shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Don't try to force plays through.
No.
Be jacked up, ready to go, hit the ice with speed.
I want to see a lot of physicality.
If they're not feeling it, then make them feel it.
Simple plays. Don't give it up at the blue lines. Mm-hmm. Get a save. Crash the net. Let's do all that stuff.
Yeah.
All the cliches.
Clear out the rebounds.
I love this from Lance. Overconfident or a realist? 1,000%. 1,000%. There are a lot of tangible areas of this game where the Oilers have a massive advantage.
We just have to execute. Execution is key. If we play our game, we should get a favorable outcome.
Yep, I like that as a key to victory. Just execute. If the Oilers are at their A+ and Vancouver's at their A+, this game will not be close. We are about 7 hours away, exactly 7 hours away from puck drop. I know our internet's kind of starting to get a little dicey here, so we're going to wrap this bad boy up. Big shout out to Frank Saravalli for swinging around for the first chunk of the show. Everyone in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat, you are great. That is a wrap on a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show live from Greta in Vancouver. If you are in Vancouver, Friday, we'll be here at Greta. Tonight, though, Black Frog. Join us. Cold one before the game. And then we will march to Rogers Arena for Oilers and Canucks game one. We'll be back tomorrow, noon Mountain Time, with hopefully a victory edition of the show. Enjoy the game. We'll chat with you then.